And
this, I don't know whether you want to look at them before or after, because I have some pictures on the wall there.
Okay, we'll just interrupt this at any time, and we'll take a look at those pictures.
I have an idea. I look first afterwards, but I have an idea that if you see them first, they might give you
Fine. I'm visiting with Mrs. Samuel Rosenman, Dorothy Rosenman, in New York City. And this is December 15, 1980. Well, Mrs. Rosenman, you were very close, you and your husband, to the Trumans. We were just looking at some pictures. And I noticed that very shortly after Mr. Truman returned to independence and entered his so-called retirement years, he really didn't retire, he came to New York in the summer. I think it was the trip that he and Mrs. Truman took when they drove their car to New York.
They always drove
their car. Oh, did they?
But it was even, I don't know whether while he was president, but while he was senator, they always drove back and forth. And Mrs. Truman always used to say she hated it because he drove so fast.
Is that right? Well, I noticed that in a couple of letters that he wrote to your husband, in 1953, he said, and I quote, "What a time I had with my lawyer in New York. It was one to remember, sure enough." And then a few days later, he wrote, "I'm still living your party over and over." Do you remember that visit, the party that you...
Well, we had, what year was this?
1953, the first year out of the White House.
When was Margaret married?
1956.
Well?
It'd be 3 years later.
I remember a party that we had at our apartment for the Trumans.
Well, you had, I think, several, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I don't know what the occasion of it was. I remember, this is off the record, I remember the Harrons there, because they called up and wanted to bring somebody that the president didn't care for, and I had to say, no, I'm sorry. That's off the record. I don't remember just when that. It was a large party, and this is also off the record, and this might help. Margaret was going a while with Governor Minor, and we were going to invite Governor Minor, and she said, don't invite him to me. And that's when she started going with Cliff. So that's the only way I can, I can't give you a date on that.
Yes, yes.
It's sometimes, that's why I asked when Margaret.
I know that the Trumans enjoyed seeing the members of the former staff, and the president referred to the staff as the gang, and they enjoyed very much coming back. Do you have any further recollections about those get-togethers?
Well, I don't remember any real get-togethers, and not that the parties we had in New York were not of the White House gang, because they were pretty well separated and scattered about. They were people that the president knew well, like the Harrons, and would have wanted to have had there. They came up several times to our place in the country and stayed. Just the two of them, and we had a little guest house that they used, and I can remember sitting out on the lawn and his looking around and saying, it's so beautiful, it's almost as nice as Independence. Because he thought Independence was so good. And as you know, it's right black country.
Yes, yes.
Things had nice big hills around and so on, but he loved Independence. But we would have very quiet times together, just chewing our rag and discussing things. As you know, Mrs. Truman was informed of everything that was happening and had opinions about them. And my husband, much to my joy, always felt that I should know whatever was going on, and therefore the four of us could have a real give-and-take conversation.
Yes.
But I was going to tell you about the pictures, that he didn't, he would just sort of write formal things, not much imagination in signing a picture. For instance, on the other side of the wall, you'll see the Roosevelt pictures, and you'll always see something fresh and novel in his signature. And when we were in France, we went to Vance, to the Matisse Chapel. And of course, President Truman hated modern art, and he used to call our things ham and eggs. And when we went there, of course, we went to France with the expectation that we were going to lead a very private life. We really did, but it was an endeavor, because every place he went, he was recognized. And as soon as we went into the cathedral of the chapel at Vance, the nuns recognized him, and we had to see every single solitary thing. They took out all of the robes and everything, and then they had a book that they gave him, and he inscribed that to me. And I said, "Now say something different. Don't just say with regards." So he wrote, I don't remember the exact wording, but something. Who will appreciate this more than I would?
Well, I do have some documents with me that do relate to that trip in 1958. Let me see. This is the one that you went to France. I guess that trip was essentially just a vacation, wasn't it?
It wasn't completely a vacation. And they said they did not want to travel around much. We had traveled quite a bit, and we never traveled fast, and we never tried to cover too much territory, but we never stayed in one place for a month, as we were doing there. And but they said they didn't want to take long trips, and I can realize now how fatiguing long motoring trips would be. So that we've heard, Sam wrote to a friend of his in Paris and asked for a suggestion, and Adenauer had stayed at the Domaine Saint-Martin, and they said it had great privacy, which it did, and on the strength of that, we went to the Domaine Saint-Martin, and they had their hotels. It wasn't a big hotel at all, but it had a two buildings, and one of them had three rooms, two bedrooms and a sitting room, and they had a lot of terrace, and so they blocked off the terrace in front of our sitting room. One of the three rooms, and we used to have our breakfast out there. And there's so much to tell about that trip. There's say about that document which you have copied.
And here is the copy, and I'm anxious for you to give me the background. This is document that he wrote out, and it's really a diploma of accomplishment.
Well, I'll tell you what the background is.
Okay.
When we got to France, De Gaulle, it was in the paper that we were going just a short time before we went, just our government did nothing about it, and we didn't want anything done about it. But when we got to France, we found, when we got to Cannes, there was French Secret Service. And a very nice man, of course, the president didn't speak a word of French. He had a few doughboy expressions, but he spoke no French. And he liked to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and walk. And the Secret Service man walked with him, but it was no company for him because he couldn't talk to him. So he asked Sam whether he would walk with him in the morning. So Sam said if he would leave at a decent time, he would. And so he would go at 8 o'clock. And once Sam said, Sam had a great sense of humor and a present to enjoy, President Roosevelt enjoyed. It made it nice working, companionship. So Sam said, my children will never believe this. I want you to write out and tell them something that will make them believe this. So the president got up early in the morning. One morning, he produced this, he had sat while waiting for Sam, and he produced this document. So Sam said, oh, I have to have it notarized. We were having lunch. We didn't accept any invitations except from the, I forget what you call it, of the prefect of the district. They met us at the boat. They were very pleasant, so that we did see them, but we didn't accept any other invitations. But we were going to, our consul in Nice also came aboard ship and met us. And so we wanted to take them to lunch. So Sam told the, does that have a seal on it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's the first draft.
The original has a notary seal on it.
Right.
Sam said, please bring along a seal. We're going to have the document notarized. So he met us at a street corner someplace with a man with a seal. And he said, shouldn't we take this back and have it typed? No. So it's there. And that is the origin of that story. And I think it's an amusing story that our consul wanted to have it typed. But I hope you don't do it. Who was the gentleman who just published your book about, it's just out, I just got it. Roosevelt, Truman's Diaries.
Oh, Robert Farrell.
Yes. Well, what he did, and he says it in the frontispiece, that Truman was notorious for his bad spelling, and so he corrected every bit of the spelling in through the thing. And I think it loses the charm when you correct the spelling. Some of the things in there, a couple of misspelled words that were interesting. Also, he wrote that in the style of a county judge that he had been.
That's an interesting point.
Yes.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I wouldn't have thought of it, not being a lawyer, but my husband was amused by it.
Uh-huh.
It was done in the style of a county judge.
It was written on the ship, is that correct?
No, it was written at the Maximatana.
Oh, okay.
You see where Sam walked, where they walked.
Well, I was wondering why he put the SS France on it. That's what confused me.
Let's see the original.
Okay.
He went over on the Independence and came home on the Constitution.
So that just means then that he was in France and perhaps he somehow got it confused.
I don't know what that.
Maybe he meant
we never noticed that.
Perhaps he meant the ship named France or something.
We weren't on the...
But I mean, he was joking in a way that this was a...
I don't know.
Yeah, but that is interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It's nothing that we ever paid attention to.
Hmm.
It's very interesting. No, definitely, we were not on the France. We went over... We all always traveled while the independence... I mean, Sam and I didn't. Were afloat
mm-hmm.
on those ships. We often traveled on them. And we went over, I believe, on the independence and came home on the mm-hmm. Constitution.
He may have gone to Europe or come home from Europe in 1956 when he traveled with Ambassador and Mrs. Woodward on
yes.
the SS France. I think he perhaps did. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that. Okay, well, that's a delightful story. So you just relaxed and didn't do a lot of traveling.
Well, there are a lot of stories, if you'll bear with me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
On that trip, in the first place, President Truman would have had a club sandwich every day of his life for lunch. Mrs. Truman loved to go to the restaurants and eat. And my husband didn't like it. We had a car and chauffeur for the time we were there. And we had laid out, we had various books of different restaurants along the Corniche and along the coast. And first night we were at, when we arrived, we had dinner there. So at breakfast the next morning, Sam said, "Now where shall we go for lunch and where shall we go for dinner?" And Preston said, "It was very nice here last night. Why shouldn't we eat here?" Well, we didn't. And every place we went, and the next day, every place, for at least a week, would be the same answer. "Well, it was very nice at the Hong Kong last night. Why don't we go back there?" But the place he thoroughly enjoyed most was a place I think it tapped on tea, where they brought out the butter in a tub. And this old farm boy, oh, he couldn't get over that. He loved that.
And where was that again then? Where do you think that may have been?
I think it tapped on tea at the restaurant.
I see.
In my recollection. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll get ahead of my story. My husband was wondering what we were going to do for a month in one place there. And we thought ourselves that we were right near Picasso. And through one of my husband's partners was a well-known art collector, and at that time he was on the board of the Modern Museum. And so the Modern Museum, Mr. Barr, who was there at that time, wrote over to Picasso and asked what he would like to see us, and we would pay him a visit. So he wrote back and said he would be delighted. We should call his secretary when we were ready to come. So one morning we were sitting out on the terrace at breakfast, and I said, "Well, if we're going to go to see Picasso, we better call and make an appointment." And at that, the president had gone inside for a moment, and Bess said, "I don't think we ought to go to see Picasso." Sam and I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Well, you know what Harry thinks about modern paintings, and he might say something." We both said, "You've got something there." And when he came back, I said, "Mr. Preston, Bess raises a point." And I repeated it. And he said, "Of course I want to go. He's the foremost painter of the time. Of course I will." But his feelings. So we made an appointment and we went. I had given them the book, The Private Life of Pablo Picasso. They talked about how this heavily dressed without any ceremony. And today it wouldn't be strange. But Picasso, when he did it as a girl, was all dressed up for the occasion. They were compared notes. The president, as you know, didn't speak any French, and Picasso didn't speak any English, but Jack wasn't. His then secretary, with whom he was living, and later his wife, was his wife until he died, spoke some English. Though Sam was fluent in English, he had conducted all of his sessions during the war with the Gaulle. And
you mean he was fluent with French? Your husband was fluent with French?
Fluent with French,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And Bigot in French. And he had won all kinds of prizes. And I'm fluent in French, but my accent is purely American. His was a French accent. At any rate, after admiring things in the house, I asked where the goat was, and he proceeded to take us out into the garden. It wasn't the live goat, it was the statue of it took us to. And Sam and I was walking with Picasso, and Sam was walking with the president, and he mumbled, "How can Dorothy rave about those things? They're god awful." At any rate, after we finished there, he said, "Have you been to the Pottery Woods?" And we said, "No, we were going." So he hopped in the car and went along with us.
Mr. Picasso did?
Picasso, uh-huh. To the Pottery Works. Then he said to Mrs. Truman and to me, "Will you each select a plate? That plate over there, which is quite a conventional plate,
oh, yes.
is mm-hmm. what I selected." Mrs. Truman selected one with a design that was truly Picasso, and I mumbled to her, "Why do you select that? You know you don't like that plate." And she said, "If I'm going to have a Picasso, I'm going to have a Picasso." Then he said, "Have you been down to my museum?" And we said, "No, we're going there." So he went along. And I didn't notice this. You enter it through a chapel. And when we came out, I said, "It won't help her. Won't help her one bit." After we got in the car and had left them. And I said, "What do you mean?" Well, they had all noticed that Jacqueline had crossed herself as we went into the chapel, went through the chapel. And she wasn't married to Picasso at the time. And that was why Bess said, "It won't help her, it won't help her a bit." Midwest lady. At any rate, I thought those episodes were nice. Now then, we did deviate with their, and that was planned beforehand, with their desire not to take long trips. We went to Les Baux for 2 days. And you see, the president's knowledge of history in every place. And he enjoyed that very, very much. And while we were at Les Baux, we drove to Avignon, and then the priest at Avignon came out, again recognizing him, and wouldn't let us go without showing us every little thing. But he did enjoy the trip to Les Baux, and we both did. And that's where those pictures in the pool. When we came back to Domaine Saint-Martin, my husband said to Mr. Jeanette, who was the owner, why don't you have a pool? It was so nice that they bowled, and they had a big orange grove, not orange grove, olive grove. And so I guess Mr. Jeanette thought that the president was going to continue coming there, but anyway, he named it the Piscine Tumor. And today, I suppose, I know the people have been there years afterwards, and I'm on it.
Where is this located?
This was at the Dominus Cemetery.
It is.
That was up on the high corniche, and we looked, it was far away from mobs. But even when we went to Les Baux, and when we would go to a little fishing village for lunch, people would recognize this. Of course, it tickled them.
Mm-hmm.
But also on that trip, we were not supposed to be public figures. He wasn't supposed to be. And the press in France, I don't know whether it's true in any other parts of Europe, but I had no experience with traveling for the next Paris except in France. But the press in France is not attached to the newspaper, they're freelance. And wherever we went at the beginning, and it annoyed Mrs. Truman terribly, we went through the story, we were at some town in the High Corniche, I don't remember, did they come to me, and the newspaper men were following us, and Bess was holding for up against it, and I joined with her. And each of us was a rampart of some sort, and he took us to the edge of the rampart, and he gave us a good lacing down. He said, I've tried my best to keep good relations with these people, and I don't want you saying
say.
Really. And, of course, I mean, that. But I don't know whether it was that day or it was certainly soon thereafter, if it wasn't that day. We went to a very famous restaurant also on the High Corniche. And Sam asked the newspaper people, photographers, to meet with him afterwards. And he said to him, now, this is a private pleasure. And I'd make a contact with you if you don't follow us around. When the president, when we leave, and on the ship, before the ship sails, we will have a press conference. And so far as we know, they didn't. But that picture at Les Baux, and the one of me with the president, was taken from some tree. It was obvious that there was no photographer there, and the match had done that. But then when we got on board ship, we did give a press conference.
Sounds like a fascinating excursion.
It was really a fascinating excursion. We also, this book of the president's diaries, there's something which he said we went to Monte Carlo, and we went to Monte Carlo for dinner, and we had the Préfet and his wife with us. It was their anniversary, I think, and we had dinner at the hotel at Monte Carlo. And then Bess wanted to go to the casino, and he didn't feel that he should. In this letter, in the book of memoirs and diaries, he wrote home to somebody that I went to a gambling place, but I didn't win any money, or I didn't have a chance to gamble. And what happened really was that he didn't feel that he should go to the gambling house. So Sam took the Préfet's wife and Mrs. Truman and me to the gambling place. We did gamble. If anybody won anything, and I don't suppose they gambled for more than $10 or $20. I'm sure that was all. But she's quite as poor as she wanted. I'm sure he would have enjoyed to, but quite rightly he didn't feel that as ex-president he should go. And he and the prefect stayed and talked. And the prefect gave him a good scolding. We found out afterwards because he felt that he shouldn't have gone to see Picasso. It only encouraged Picasso because Picasso was a communist.
What a rich story that is. I noticed also that you went to Key West with the
Truman. No, not to Key West.
Well, it wasn't Key West.
It was on the Keys.
Oh, that's right. Only in. The Only Inn.
Only Inn, that's right.
Yes.
In
February.
With the Morrows.
Uh-huh. And it was in February of 1957, and the president asked you if you would take notes at a press conference. Do you remember that?
I didn't remember that.
And you took these notes that I have, and then he had them typed up and sent you the typed version, thanking you very much.
I don't take short answers or anything. I wish I did.
Uh-huh. But apparently there was no one available.
I'll tell you what we want. No, it was a small inn. Mrs. Truman heard about it from someone who ran an inn near Washington. And the purpose of that week's trip was Ed Morrow was taping, what was that, Hear It Now? Which must be in the library, because it was broadcast. And we went down with the Morrows, Janet Morrow and Ed Morrow, and Mrs. Truman, and President, and Sam and I. We lived in a cottage with the Trumans, and the Morrows lived on the same place, but adjacent. And they would come over and have recording sessions, and Ed Morrow and Sam liked to fish. They persuaded President to go fishing. He really didn't care about fishing. No, we just had a pleasant time swimming.
How about any other trips? I noticed that there's a letter here dated 1962 in which the president thanks you for taking them to the World's Fair.
Okay.
Yes, the new World's Fair grounds. And he thanks you also for the luncheon and the gold pass.
And the what?
And the gold pass.
Oh?
A gold pass.
Ten?
He said, no, I think it's pass. He says the tour, the luncheon, and the gold pass. Perhaps someone gave him an honorary
maybe somebody
pass.
Did.
Uh-huh. You recall that
yes,
that
I
occasion?
Recall that, but I don't recall any particular incident. I remember now that you refresh my recollection that we did take them. I was supposed to be with a piano player.
Someone must have played the piano for me.
This was 62 when we were going on a trip. I guess that was a trip we took probably to India. No, that would have been before the World's Fair.
Wasn't there one to Africa?
Africa, I think, yeah.
Because I remember him writing and saying he was sorry he couldn't go along.
Yes. Well, I was talking about sorry that he couldn't go along. In 59, we went to Japan. And because we'd all had such a good time in France the year before, Sam asked him whether he wanted to go along with him to Japan. And he said, I would love to, but I don't dare because he had dropped, or the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima. And we thought he was right. But when we got there, Sam represented CBS, and the CBS people had a dinner party for us in which they had other members of the press, including the Times. And Sam asked the question, what would have happened if President Truman had come? And they said he would have had a royal welcome because they respected him so much because of his the way he controlled the military. In other words, the MacArthur incident. Also, we had a very intelligent woman guide. In those days, you didn't go around Japan without a guide. And she was one of the first university women in Japan. And she was a woman alone in age. And she said the same thing, that everyone respected President Truman because of his control of the military. It was very interesting.
So that's a trip that he would have enjoyed but could not take.
Couldn't take.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any other travels? Did you go to Independence?
Yes. We stayed at their place in the room that Mrs. Truman is now using on the, is a guest room on the ground floor. That raises two other matters. We went with them to Chicago. What was the year of the convention in Chicago?
1956.
We went with them, and again, we had two bedrooms in a sitting room. And then when the 60th convention was to take place in Los Angeles, we had the same arrangement. And if you remember, the Saturday before the convention was to start, he had a press conference in which he had some things to say against Kennedy. And that press conference,
I'm familiar with it.
So Sam phoned and said, well, are you going to go? And he said, yes, I'll be there. You go ahead. I'll be there. But we had the whole suite to ourselves. He never came. And then we went to, on the way home, instead of going home, we went to Independence. And we got there. We left before the vice presidential nomination. And we sat out on the back porch and listened to the radio, and everybody was very surprised when Johnson accepted it. President did be surprised. And we went out for Margaret's wedding also.
Oh, in 1956.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was a small wedding. It was very hard. I think that's the only. I've been back once to visit Mrs. Truman, but I talk to her every once on the phone, but it's very difficult because she's very hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
This last time, I happened to call. I hadn't called for a long time because I found it so difficult. And this last time, I called Margaret. Happened to be be there. And I said, will you tell your mother I called? And she said, you can talk to her, but I think you'll have a hard time. I had a very hard time. I really don't know whether she heard anything.
Oh, it can be difficult when you have the hearing problem.
But I hear that she is mentally quite alert.
That's what I understand. Did you go out to the library dedication?
Yes.
The following year. That would be in 1957.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did like that, but I remember more distinctly. I'm not sure, I'm not positive that we went out to the library dedication. But we did go, we may not have been here, otherwise I'm sure we would have gone, but we went out to the funeral.
Oh, okay. Yes. Did you have an opportunity to talk to President Johnson at the funeral?
The president?
Are you talking, you're talking about President Truman's funeral?
Truman, yes.
President Johnson was there.
No.
Had you?
No. Probably, but...
Yeah.
You know, probably
sure.
Say, how do you do? And,
yes.
It wasn't much of a conversation with anyone. I wasn't talking to Clark, but I remember that. But of course, you see, Sam saw a great deal of him, and they came here. We saw a great deal of him here. And we had, as you say, maybe we had several parties. I remember that one particular one, both because of that incident, and Margaret, because that was when she started going quick. And that, of course, is not for, that is something you don't want to use, but I never want you to use. But they came here a lot, and the same thing was true. We would go out, we would go to the Pavilion, which Mrs. Truman enjoyed very much, and Sulay was the proprietor and quite a famous restaurateur in New York and quite a famous character. And he would always say, "Vive la, leave Larry married as soon as the rest of the troop came." And then we were walking up Madison Avenue. They used to stop at the car, stay at the Carlisle. We were walking up Madison Avenue, taxi driver stopped and got out and shake the hand, Harry. How there were incidents like that.
He loved people, didn't he?
He loved people, yes.
Yeah.
He loved them. And Mrs. Truman does, too, but she wanted some privacy. She always said, I remember when we landed coming home, Margaret came aboard ship, and she was talking to the press, and Mrs. Truman said, "She's a ham just like her father."
Well, I'm going to flip this tape over, and then when we get to the other side, I'd like to talk to you about what you recall concerning Judge Rosenman's working relationship with the president. I know that they were very, very close.
They were very, very close. And when you ask me questions, that makes I know the true value of an interviewer is the questions.
Okay.
Rather things.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you before we put on the other tape, won't you have a drink?
Oh, I'd enjoy it. Yes.
All right. What will you have?